Hello, listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hi.
We are in week three of Holiday Favorites Month, which is Tammy's pick. But Tammy, before we get to your pick, why don't you tell the listeners about your dump truck of an ass Christmas tree that you got?
She's big.
She's, you know what I mean? Huge.
In all the right places.
So we went to a family farm, and it's small, and we went the first weekend after Thanksgiving to get our tree, because we were told, like, that's the weekend to go.
It's not small, it's cozy.
Guido decided, let's walk. Let's not, you know, hop on the trolley. And he was about a mile ahead of everyone.
Sounds like a large Christmas tree farm, then.
And then he's nowhere to be found. And then all of a sudden he whisks by me and he's like, there's nothing back there. Let's go this way. He's like, we've got to find a tree.
So he's trying.
There's too many people here.
He's basically
and all the trees
old man.
Are gone. So then I pointed out that the tagged trees were reserved because they have like a system where you can either tag your tree and they'll cut it down and bring it to the front for you. Or you can supervise the cutting down of your tree and then they'll still bring it up for you. So he's like, oh my gosh, all the good trees are already taken? We've got to hurry up. There's more people out here. So he's like running around the field.
You also kind of sound like that when you did that. You got to be quicker than that. Like you're combining Matt's dad with the guy from the Geico commercial.
Yeah.
The urban legend.
The urban legend.
He was like frantic to find a tree. So.
Oh my gosh.
And he has to have a big tree with a, we call it a fat bottom girl tree.
Yeah, I mean, you can't knock her over.
Dude, I mean, if it was a woman, Ice-T would date her. Like, it is.
She's shaped like a pear.
Yeah, it is crazy.
It's all about surface area.
It's cocoa.
Okay.
So then we look at the tree and we're like, and the trees haven't been like pruned.
Right.
No,
they're usually pruned. Like the farmers, when you go out, they'll prune the Christmas tree so that they're shaped like the way that you would expect a tree to look.
Before they even cut them?
Before they cut them.
Really?
Yeah.
This tree was so thick that it broke their baler.
I know. I was telling my mom that earlier. She was horrified.
A chain snapped. Like the claws that they used to bite the trunk came flinging towards Vincent's face.
Your son.
It was almost a... I was so glad I wasn't watching.
It was a final destination show.
Yeah, it was Final Destination Holiday Edition.
Yeah.
So wait, does that mean now that he avoided Death's design there, it's going
to... Skip him and come to all of us.
Well, no. Why would it come to us? Well,
we
wasn't
there.
I wasn't there.
There's so no transitive property of death.
But dude, have you not watched those movies?
Don't disrespect Tony Todd. May he rest in peace.
I mean, Jesus, man. I feel really not safe sitting next to you right now.
Do you see a log truck in the room?
It doesn't matter.
Ugh.
It could come out of nowhere.
So then I just got my car, my new car, in May. And he wanted to put the trees in the truck. And I'm like, why can't we put them on the top of the car?
Yeah, don't they do it for you?
No.
They throw in some rope and tie it to your car for you.
This place was very, insurance minded, so they did not do that.
Oh.
He's like, let's throw it in Greg's truck. Then we'll go to Kristen's house because everybody's got to pee anyway. She lives like literally a mile away. And then we'll figure out how to get them on the roof.
So this is in Jersey.
Okay, fine.
Unfortunately, okay. Yeah.
So we all go to Kristen's house and these two are out back, like standing there, scratching their heads, trying to figure out how to not put it on the roof of my car like I asked. So now they're wrapping our tree and my parents' tree because we had to bring it to them. They're wrapping them in plastic bags so that they can, and blankets. To shove them in the back of my car.
Look,
so that they don't have to put it on the roof.
I promise you, not a single needle is in that car. Oh, it got in there.
Oh my God.
Well, I mean, perfect. Yeah, because also, I mean, technically, did you guys get the attachment to put stuff on the top of your car? Because you can't just fashion it up there with just how it is.
Yeah.
Why?
And I don't want to scratch it.
They don't actually give you the things, the roof cargo thing. They don't give you that standard. You have to pay extra for that. So you can't latch anything to the top of your car without the extra.
We didn't get the LX package.
Oh. Why do I see so many other people do it anyway?
They tie it with rope.
Tammy,
they
later
loop
that
it
day,
through their car windows.
Your sister told us she saw someone's tree fall off the roof. So, like, you know, proof we made the right decision. And not a single needle's in your car.
So then we get it home, and We put it in the stand in the front yard so that we can prune it outside.
With hedge trimmers.
In the front yard with hedge trimmers before we bring it into the house.
Wow.
That's how fat and big the tree is.
She's a beaut.
Thank you.
She's a beaut.
Totally worth the effort, Tammy.
Wow.
She's beautiful. Come on.
She is a beautiful tree. Yeah. She's our tacky, lovely Christmas tree.
Needs more tinsel.
I love her.
We did. I don't feel like we finished it. We still have more ornaments, too. No. I found more today.
Did you guys, like, when you were trying to put it in the room, did you guys, like, have someone, like, position around with the lighting and make sure everything looked good and then, like, stand in place of where the tree is?
Yeah, I asked her to take her shirt off, but, you know, she straight up said no. And I thought that was a little unprofessional.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was a little unprofessional. I was just going to cup them, you know, and then talk about the weather and shit, but no.
Speaking of porn movie stand-ins. But Tammy, tell us about your pick for holiday favorites month.
Oh my God, I don't even know how to segue into that.
Well.
Yeah, so my movie came out in 2003 and it stars every famous British actor that has been in a movie that's also came to America.
My favorite British actor in this movie is Jude Law.
That's when I knew that he didn't watch this movie before.
Wait.
Today.
Ian McKellen's in this movie?
No.
Yeah.
He literally was like, my favorite one is the Jude Law one. I'm like, no.
That's the Holiday.
Yeah.
Did that last year.
Yeah.
So I love the Holiday too. And then there's this one that falls into that similar vein of love.
Yes.
Love Actually is the movie that I chose.
This holiday season. Join this unforgettable filmmaking team.
Welcome, Prime Minister. This is Natalie. Hello, David. I mean, sir.
20 years ago, you'd have been just his type.
As they explore that time of year, when desires are revealed.
I'm in love.
Aren't you a bit young to be in love?
No.
Okay.
Secrets are exposed.
Your secretary is very pretty.
Is she?
Be careful there.
And chances are finally taken.
So had you seen it, and what did you think of my pick, Allie?
I had seen it. I was excited to talk about it and watch it again. I do watch it every year. And we had the opening quote as a reading at our wedding. Mm-hmm. Matt and I, my friend Kelly read it. I took out the part about the two towers.
Well, that way it'll age well.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it less topical, I guess.
Yeah, I can't knock it down.
Oh, God. Ooh.
Yikes. Okay. Matt?
Well, just to prepare our listeners, this is going to probably be a recurring theme of this episode. Yes, I've seen this movie.
Ugh, no.
Yes.
I guess this really shows.
Yes, it really shows.
I was really excited. And now the feeling grows.
And the feeling grows.
I never got it. I forget why. I just, you know, I always put it off. And then Allie was just like, no, you need to watch it.
He had never really seen it till like a couple years ago.
And I was like, okay, I'll watch it. And I was like, and then God damn it.
Loved it.
How can you not?
I don't know.
All right, Guido. Was today the first time you've seen the movie from start to finish?
I was so excited to learn that you chose this movie. I really couldn't wait to watch it again. So thank you very much for choosing it.
I don't think he's ever seen it.
Was today the first time you ever watched it?
Maybe.
Oh my gosh.
And he wasn't going to watch it.
I was gonna.
No, there's you weren't.
Tits. There's two sets of tits in it.
That was very helpful. Yes. In my decision to actually watch.
I know, and yes, one of them is Laura Linney tits.
It was, I just threw up in my mouth a little.
2 o'clock, though.
I was gonna.
He was 2:30.
He had other stuff he had to do today, like nurse a hangover.
When he found out that Jude Law wasn't in the movie, he said to himself, oh, maybe I should watch it. Well, because I'm not going to be able to talk at all today.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, in his...
So disrespectful.
I mean, if I was a betting man, I would put money without ever knowing. I'd be like, yeah, sure, I bet Jude Law's in it.
Well, you said every British actor. So
it's weird. Jude Law and Kate Winslet are both not in this movie.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why I asked if Ian McKellen was in it.
No, he's not.
Is there any?
There's a. I told her
LGBTQIA love in this movie, or is it?
I told her last night.
It's all just straight as fuck.
He bangs his manager.
There's a deleted scene that is actually Emma Thompson's son gets in trouble at school, mm-hmm. and it's about the headmistress of the school, and she goes home to her partner who's like sick with cancer, and like it is a very lovely extra storyline, but they cut it out of the movie.
So were you happy to watch the movie?
Yeah, I like to watch Billy and Joe's love flourish into a sexual physical relationship.
You know he didn't, because A, there are no guns, there are no explosions, there are feelings.
There's lots feelings. Of
there's
feelings.
So many feelings in your fingers and your toes.
In your toes, yeah. But yeah.
No bones, though.
Oh, yeah. No bones. The kids can't watch this movie, but they are familiar with the song. So I
because you have been sing trying to
train them that it's, I feel it in my fingers, I feel it in my bones. And it drives Tammy up the fucking wall.
Okay.
Let's go.
So.
Get us in the feels.
So we start off with this really great couple of lines from Hugh Grant that kind of like start the movie, the feeling of the movie. Do you have the quote memorized?
No.
I don't have.
I could just do a really good Hugh Grant doing the my.
I feel like he's the least bumbling in this movie that he's been in quite a long time, but he is still a little bumbly, but because he's the prime minister, he can't be as bumbling.
Mm-hmm.
He calls the queen a saucy minx.
Yeah.
A saucy, not the queen, that's Margaret Thatcher.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Saucy minx. He's saucy.
So it starts off with him, like, and he's like gearing up for the whole movie about how love is actually everywhere.
Whenever I get gloomy with the state of the world, I think about the arrivals gate at Heathrow Airport. General opinion is starting to make out that we live in a world of hatred and greed. But I don't see that. Seems to me that love is everywhere. Often it's not particularly dignified or newsworthy, but it's always there. Fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, husbands and wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, old friends. When the planes hit the Twin Towers, as far as I know, none of the phone calls from the people on board were messages of hate or revenge. They were all messages of love. If you look for it, I've got a sneaky feeling you'll find that love actually is all around.
Yeah.
And then the whole movie is different storylines of different types of love or loving relationships. And they're all based in London within the month of Christmas. Some of them, like the majority of them, take place in London. There is one storyline that is in France too. So,
and Colin goes to
Wisconsin.
I thought it was
Milwaukee.
I thought it was Portugal.
It's France.
He goes to Portugal at the end.
She's Portugal. She's Portuguese. Right.
Yeah.
No, it's still France, but she's Portuguese.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So instead of taking you all the way through, I thought I would just highlight some of our favorites from the movie. So, Allie, do you want to talk about what your favorite storyline is?
My favorite storyline is Billy Mack and his manager, Bill Nighy.
Ooh,
and
Billy Mack.
Billy Mack. He's like a aging rock star. I think like...
Yeah. He's
Keith
Richards. He's not aging, aged. He's aged.
He's washed up.
He was a one-hit wonder.
I don't think he was a one-hit wonder. I think he was like, he was like big, you know? He was a big...
And he like did a lot of drugs and...
We'll go with Rod Stewart.
I think he got really into drugs and he probably has a bunch of kids that he doesn't know about.
Yeah.
Well, sex and drugs first. So.
And...
Then rock and roll.
So he re-releases one of his famous songs. They Christmas-fy it, and it's I feel it in my fingers, I feel it in my toes.
Oh,
Christmas,
love is all around us, but they change it to Christmas. And I just love him and the manager because it's not romantic love, it's friendship love. That's why I like this movie so much, because it shows different kinds of love. And I love in the end when he has the chance to go to Elton's party, Elton John.
He decides
to hang out with his manager on Christmas
Eve. Well, I would just much rather hang out with you.
I love just how inappropriate he is and the cursing.
Let's get pissed and watch porn.
Let's get pissed and watch porn. When he writes on that poster.
You have this pen.
You can write on anything.
You can write on anything. And he just writes like,
we have really little pricks. Yeah. And then he says don't buy drugs. Become a pop star. They give them to you for free. Like, yeah. It's so funny. And I just remember when this movie came out, there was like a little bit of chatter that he might get an Oscar nomination for it. Because
really?
It's just one of those parts that like stands out.
Yeah.
And people were just like, because even though Bill Nye has been an actor for a long time, no one in the States knew who he was until this movie came out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he was in Pirates of the Caribbean too.
But that was after this.
Yeah, that was after this.
I feel like Underworld was even after this.
No, I think Underworld, like, the because he was in the first Underworld.
He was in the first one.
That one, I think I was in high. When did this movie come out?
This came out in 2003.
Well, I mean, yeah, I remember seeing Underworld earlier in high school.
Underworld came out the same year.
All right, then.
So, like, again, no one really knew who he was. Like, he was kind of like a famous, you know, British actor and all that stuff. Yeah, I just love, he's so funny. And yeah, it's probably my favorite storyline because, again, it's just like they're friends. And his manager stuck by him through everything when he has nothing, you know, he doesn't have a family. He probably doesn't have friends anymore because of what happened. And everyone now who's attached to him is like, ooh, he's rising up again. So let's glob on. And his manager's always been there.
He's also very unapologetic about his wanting to bring his career back from the shitter that it is. They have clips of him on TV shows. I love how each one of the storylines is connected also.
Yes.
Throughout.
They all know each other.
Or they're just connected in some way.
Like,
so yeah, they're all tenuously linked.
Hugh Grant like watches him on TV. Like Bill Nye, he doesn't really know any other people, but they know him because he's famous.
Yeah, and Mr. Bean distracts that guy at
the airport.
Mr. Bean, I forgot about Mr. Bean.
So that little kid could go for a run.
No, but I love when he's on the radio station and he's like, if it wasn't the boy band, they're going to be, you know, partying with a bunch of birds bouncing on the bowls. And I'll be hanging out with my manager, ugliest man in the world. Like, he's just so funny.
The manager's just like... And like when he was recording the song, he's like, this is just utter shit. And he's like, yeah, I know.
Solid gold shit. They're so cute together. Yeah, but they're definitely my favorite. And I like that, you know, in the end, he does get the Christmas number one.
He does.
And then he just goes and wants to get pissed with his manager.
Plus,
his manager plays naked.
His manager has a Jaws poster on the wall, so.
They get pissed and watch porn.
Do straight guys watch porn together?
No, they don't.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it was once really awkward on a bowling trip. We all went in.
Because it was your dad?
Well, yeah. So, like, my Uncle Gary left the door to his room open.
Stop.
Like, on purpose.
In adjoining rooms, and he wasn't there. I think they all went to
Perkins
dinner or something.
Get a load of these tits.
So then we were just like, you know, it'd be really fucking funny if we just charged a bunch of porn to us.
That's so mean.
And then we're sitting there and we're all just, I'm sitting there watching it and my dad's over there watching it. Stevenson's in there and Bob's. And then
And then
Gary comes in. He's just like, oh, what are you guys doing? We're like, we're watching porn. Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Awkward group of men to be around anything sexual when we went to that strip club in Harrisburg. It's me, Taylor, and Matt are right on the stage, just like, you know, money, money. All the rest of the old men are in a corner, like, drinking a beer like this. Like, anyone came up to them, they were like, oh, no, we're fine. I'm like, then why'd you come?
Tip them.
It was.
They're trying to make some money.
Yeah, that porn was Outrageous Orgy 7.
That's so gross.
Outrageous Orgy 7.
There were seven people.
Oh, it wasn't the seventh edition?
I think it was both the seventh edition, but there were also seven people.
They just keep adding more people.
Seven people or one girl with seven dudes?
One girl with six dudes.
Okay, so that's
seven people.
That's a gangbang. Yeah. Okay. One of my books that I read was a girl who was with six guys. It's called a reverse harem in the literary smut world.
Oh, okay.
Yes, of course.
That sounds like a lot to kind of
write. It's a lot to read, yo.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think of how that would be written, and that's very complicated.
Throbbing member.
Sometimes there's a lot of them in the same hole.
Quivering canal?
Ew!
What?
DP?
DVDA?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You,
oh.
No, yeah, not yeah, DVDA.
Yeah.
DVDA.
No, DVA mouth.
Oh, what?
Oh, no, oh, DVDA.
Okay. So that's four, that's four guys.
Yeah, one. DVDA is like, whoa.
There wasn't a DVD.
Oh, my God.
Double vag.
This is MMA fight rounds.
mouth.
Twist his fucking dick off.
Where did all the legs go?
You know, it requires men to get very close. Usually they are...
not okay with that.
A, there's three dicks, like, all basically touching each other. Might you gotta well be duck. Comfortable with crossing swords.
Hi, there's so many legs.
I know. It's a lot of... I know. I've never understood, like...
just don't have tree trunks like the lady in this movie.
The physics of it, but... oh, God, that bitch. But yes, I like the old rock star.
Back to your Nighy. Christmas movie.
Back to the feel good.
I was
Christmas
really trying
movie.
To figure out the legs.
It's rated R, Matt.
Speaking of legs, Matt, do you want to talk about like which couple, which storyline is your favorite?
Well, my favorite is, it's a bit unconventional. Not a lot of people are going to agree with me on this, but I really like the whore that slept with Alan Rickman.
Ugh!
No, not really.
Did That's... they fuck?
Yes!
Yeah, he fucked her.
And he did?
No!
Oh my God, when she's in her apartment, she's wearing that red lacy thing, she puts the necklace on, the bed is all mussed up, they fuck.
What?
Yes!
Disgusting. They
fucked, and then he went to go be with his family and go to that.
That's, you know what? Why she got the necklace.
The only thing more disgusting is that is how he pronounces guacamole.
Guacamole.
Boke by the guacamole.
Boke by the guacamole.
Good job. All right, RSVP.
Well, yeah,
good
if
job.
You don't want to speak, Gil. The guy's great. He's
amazing.
He's awesome.
Love him. Love Alan Rickman.
So that's not your favorite, but
oh,
you...
no, I just wanted to be funny right there. You know that. I would have to be basic out of the story. Funny enough, I really enjoyed the Hugh Grant one. I really like the Hugh Grant with the secretary.
Yeah, she does have nice thighs.
She does.
I do
He's her catering manager.
She's the catering manager, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, he's the prime minister, he's single, and of course...
yeah.
I mean,
no prime minister has ever been that sexy.
But I mean, yeah, I know.
Or that single.
Yeah,
Natalie, that's her name, Natalie.
Yeah, yes, this is
Natalie
how you know played. This is a piece of fiction because...
kind of looks like our tree.
He's single.
He's single, and he looks like Hugh Grant, and he's the prime minister.
Like Matt was saying, Hugh Grant is the prime minister, and he has a house full of staff. Natalie's brand new, and he's really trying to like make a name for himself because he already knows that he has these things like kind of stacked against him, like being single and so young,
hot.
I feel like he also just has it stacked against him, like just being the prime minister.
Yeah,
just, you know,
yeah, he has a lot.
Shit's tough right now for people.
He's obviously the Labor Party,
mm-hmm.
And his sister is Emma Thompson.
Yes, his sister is Emma Thompson. One of the main parts that we've been kind of alluding to is when Billy Bob Thornton, who is president of the United States.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Bill Clinton, basically.
I gotta change the couch cushions every time we get to these scenes.
I'm not that attracted to him in this movie.
All right, dry it up.
No, but you're just like, ooh.
Billy Bob.
I feel like the only other
so
time,
unconventionally
the only
attractive.
Other time you've had like a stronger reaction with him was, I think, Armageddon and Sling Blade.
Sling Blade.
You see him.
I don't know what's wrong with it.
I've never even seen
no
Sling in Blade.
It.
She's
but
just like,
I do
oh.
like is Armageddon.
Is it because he's so clean cut in this movie? Is that why?
So the reason I like him so much in Armageddon is because his character is so smart, and I just like his, like, I like the sharp comebacks he gives. In this one, I do like that purple tie he wears. No, he's kind of gross in this, because he's like Bill Clinton, basically. And she's like Monica Lewinsky. She wears that blue dress at one point, and...
they're always talking about how thick she is.
It's so fucking rude.
Which is weird. She's not really.
And Hugh Grant, like, do you think so?
Oh, that his like assistant?
Yeah.
The chubby girl.
She's like, chubby?
She's
I don't think she's chubby.
She's your Christmas tree. There's a sizable ass there, sir.
Yes.
Huge thighs.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, fantastic. She's not shaped like a 12-year-old boy, bitch. Like, get out of here. You look like a plank.
Like, she looks like a real woman. She looks good.
She looks great.
Yeah.
She's so pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why this is my favorite.
Oh,
because I just like looking at Natalie.
She's beautiful. And she's funny. Because she's so
yeah, like,
she's so inappropriate.
And that's another thing. Like, aside from Bill Nighy, I feel like this is the funniest, mm-hmm. This is the second funniest, because I'll put Colin after this one.
Colin.
When he goes to Colin going to America.
Yeah.
Those are our skanks. Leave him alone.
They are skanks, too.
They really are.
Especially the one Denise from Richards The Girl Next Door.
Oh, Alicia? Oh,
no, I love the one he first sees, and when he says, like, I'll probably check into a hotel. She's like, oh, my God. That is so cute. Like,
say,
all he did was say this.
What is that? Bottle.
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 Oh, bottle.
I love
table.
It
so. Oh, it's the same.
I love the commentary just that all American girls are like, what? Accent? What?
It was,
legs open up.
And it was just exactly how he wanted it to go.
Yes.
Colin's storyline. I'm going to go to America. Americans love British accents. I'm going to fuck my way through America.
You went to the land of the pussy.
I love the friend who's like,
Milwaukee.
You're a lonely, ugly asshole, and you must accept it. And you don't have a cute British accent.
Yeah. And he's like, it doesn't matter in America because no one has an accent like me.
It's, I hate they will to say, all love but it. It is really true. Sorry,
and
Natalie.
I mean, yeah, and I also like, nah, another thing that I really like, I did like how he like stood up to Billy Bob Thornton because he was pissed off, A, about him trying to mack on his girl. But then he's just like, yes, well, you see, we've also contributed to the world as well. Harry Potter.
Sean Connery. Who's Scottish? Sean Connery is probably like, don't.
David Beckham's
left foot.
Left foot.
David His Beckham's right foot.
Right foot.
So cute.
It was just really funny to see because, yeah, we already knew that all this shit was like interconnected, but like how he was connected was, yeah, of course, he's Emma Thompson's
brother.
And, you know, he gets to see the Christmas squid.
It's an octopus.
Yes.
An
octopus.
So he's sitting alone in his house reading his Christmas cards.
I love it.
And he comes across one from Natalie, who is no longer working at his house due to the uncomfortable situation that occurred with the president.
Fucking dig.
So he sees in the card from Natalie that it says XXX, actually yours.
I'm actually yours.
And he's like, oh, this is my chance. I must find Natalie. And earlier in the story, he asked her, you know, about herself. And she told him what street she lived on. And so he and his bodyguard go house to house on the street.
Which is hilariously recreated in Ted Lasso.
I love it. It's so cute.
But instead, you know,
they're looking for a dentist for Phoebe's bad breath.
And the houses that they knock on the doors, it's the little girls and the
but one's the whore. Sorry.
Oh yeah.
Not the little girls.
No, but the one of the doors they knock on is Alan Rickman's mistress. Yeah.
Yes.
And she's like, you're not who I think you are. Why? Are you going to fuck him too? Get out of here.
She would. She would try.
And she came to her door in like a negligee.
And she's wearing the necklace too.
I actually think he has a better dance routine.
Oh, amazing.
Than Bill Nye in this movie.
This is also the love at first.
Oh, and the song. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take it down.
This is also the love at first sight. Because he falls in love with her as soon as he sees her.
Yeah.
When he closes the door, he's off and he's like, oh, it's such an inconvenience. Like, he loves her right away.
Yeah, and she does, too.
He actually got his boner stuck in the door. As he
did he?
No, he's been trying to close the door
such
on
an,
it.
Such
oh
an
my
inconvenience.
God. And then they have that amazing kiss
at
the play. He just looks like a really good kisser. And then
couldn't be all the romantic movies he's in.
It's really funny, too.
That stuff. That's so funny. He's such a curmudgeon in real life.
Because now I got to wait for it to come out on digital. Like, I'm really loving the second phase that he has now of playing, like, these weird characters in the Guy Ritchie movies, like the gentleman.
Yeah.
And then he basically plays the same character in that other Guy Ritchie movie.
Well, he's in that new one, that new A24 horror movie. People are saying he's going to get nominated for, potentially get nominated for awards for.
Yeah.
He's awesome. Apparently great in it.
In like the 90s and 2000s, I feel like he played the same character.
He was the go-to romantic comedy guy.
Was this Bridget Jones movie he was
Bridget
in?
Bridget Jones, Notting Four Hill. Weddings and a Funeral, Notting Hill, that movie with Sandra Bullock, that movie with Drew Barrymore. Like,
He was like the British McConaughey.
Well, actually,
and now he's having the McConaissance, but
McConaughey said that. They were interviewing. He was like, you know, I used to do all those romantic things. He's like, I took it over from Hugh Grant. Like, he said, like, Hugh Grant, and then he took it over, and then someone took it over from him.
Plus, also, he was really good in the D&D movie. If you guys haven't seen that, you should check that out.
Dungeons and Dragons?
I do like the D&D movie. Yeah. It's kind of fun. He's cute in it. Yeah, yeah.
My
Chris
guy
Pine's
is
in
there. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
But Pine.
Anything else you want to say about Natalie?
She's thick. But
she's thick. But even the parents say, they call her, like,
plumpy. Yeah.
I'm coming along, Clumpy. And I love when the mother's explaining it, like, there are a lot of legs, David. Like, because she made the octopus costume. He's like, oh, yeah, I guess so.
The car ride.
Yes, it would be.
So awkward.
The car ride to the play, though, with the octopus in the middle. I'm like, I was just thinking about Emma Thompson saying to her own daughter, because her own daughter is a lobster in the same school play. And I'm like, so there are more than one lobster at the birth of baby Jesus. And I'm like, wow, there's an octopus too?
Well, when I was in second grade, we did Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. But because there were so many of us, we did Snow White and the 17 Dwarves. So we just invented all of these other names for dwarves. I played the Wicked Queen, by the way. I was not a dwarf. I had a lead role.
I'm sure. Is that where your love of...
of villains comes from?
Yes.
Yes, mostly. Likely.
Very
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
So they end up together at the end, and it is very, very sweet.
It is sweet.
All right, Guido.
I bet he really likes watching Kieran Knightley. Cheese.
No, that's mine.
Oh my God.
I was going to leave that to last.
I fell in love with this girl that, like, you know, is married to my best friend. I fell in love with her, but I've never talked to her.
Look, he's going to have a long
career.
Fine,
we'll talk about mine.
Fighting zombies in the post-apocalyptic world, so it's fine.
So I liked Keira Knightley as Juliet and Peeta's love story with Mark as the extra.
The creeper.
So we meet Juliet and Peter on their wedding day. Mark is the best man, played by Andrew Lincoln. He's yummy.
I do love a velvet suit jacket.
Yes.
This movie made me, because, you know, like, I only knew him from The Walking Dead. So I was like, holy shit, he's British?
It's so funny because I knew him from this movie. So when he was on The Walking Dead, I'm like, oh my God, it's the guy from Love Actually.
Yeah. So he plans this elaborate surprise as they're leaving their wedding, the ceremony. He pays this guy that looks like Seal.
Not Seal.
To sing All You Need Is Love.
How much do you think the studio had to pay to get the rights for
that? Shit ton.
Yeah.
The Beatles song?
Yeah, that's one of the most expensive. They're one of the most expensive. That's why Paul McCartney is a billionaire.
But it had to be that song.
It did, absolutely.
It had to be.
And then groups of people playing like instruments pop up in the pews. And
I love
just
it.
So cute.
And she's just like...
She's 18 in this movie.
I just love how angelic she is and how beautiful that she looks when she's smiling. And
she's so
happy.
Like, your
wedding day is supposed to be the happiest day of your life, and it looks like it is.
I mean, I'm
scared. Then why would you ruin that?
I can't talk
shit. We're not ruining it.
Andrew,
not you.
He's going to try.
He doesn't, though.
He controls himself.
So she went to his house, his flat.
Rude.
To get the wedding footage, since he was recording the entire wedding.
He told her he didn't have it. She doesn't fucking listen.
But she had banoffee pie.
Yeah, she brought him pie.
More than one pie, if you know what I mean.
She popped the VHS into the player, and they put it on.
She gives him boners.
Did you see that interview she just recently gave about the hat and why she's wearing the hat in that scene?
No.
It's because she's fucking 18, and she had a huge ass zit on her forehead, and they couldn't cover it with enough makeup, so they were just like, just wear this hat.
Really?
Yeah.
So she's watching the video, and you watch her face go from, this is the most beautiful day of my life, to, oh my God,
this guy is in love with me.
The realization that the reason he's so distant and not very nice to her is because he loves her so much.
Yeah, that's what you do to the people you love.
Yeah, it's very like fifth grade mentality. Like,
keep them at arm's length.
You.
And be cold.
Also, everyone has the most epic real estate in this movie.
Yeah, what is...
Yeah, he lives in like a flat.
I know what Hugh Grant
does. He lives in
like
a warehouse. Oh my God.
Studio apartment.
Liam Neeson's... I said last night when we were watching, I was like, do you know how much this fucking house would cost in London that Liam Neeson lives in? Like, $9 million easily.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fucking expensive in London.
It was huge.
But even Laura Linney's apartment, ugh, I love her apartment.
Ew, I hated her apartment.
Oh my God, I love it with like the stairs up the stairs. I love it.
No.
Ugh.
Joe the manager's got the best apartment.
Who?
Oh, Joe. Yeah, he does have a good apartment.
Fireplace.
Yeah, it's nice.
And a Jaws poster.
I mean, it's no 10 Downing Street.
It is no 10 Downing Street. That's true.
Or, you know, Colin's fuck pad in America.
He had to share a bed with three women because they only have one bed.
And it's really small. Tiny and it's cold, bed. So they got to like bundle up.
On this cold, cold night, we'll probably be all sweaty, which makes no fucking sense. Well, the way she says, and we can't even afford pajamas.
They can't afford pajamas. Oh, no. How do you think he was? You think he was able to deal with that okay?
He looked like he was dealing with it just fine from the shadows.
And then it's Shadow Elizabeth is the fourth one.
I love it when he gets back and he's like,
she's the fifth one.
She's the fifth one.
She's the one that comes back. They both come back with him at the end. Shannon Elizabeth bizarrely has a Texas accent.
Amazing.
And Denise Richards, her sister, does not. So, yeah.
And she just mouth kisses his friend, Tony.
Tony.
Like, right, she told me you were gorgeous.
I knew you'd be gorgeous.
I remember the first time I watched, she had me watch it. She's like, oh, who do you think's coming? And I'm like, I was expecting Gina Gershon.
Gina Gershon.
To be one of the women from America.
Yeah, that's so funny.
But it's Denise Richards instead.
She looked great.
She Shannon did.
Elizabeth from American Pie.
So that one was one of my favorites was Keira Knightley and Peter and Mark.
Well, are you going to talk about the place cards?
Yeah.
The thingy majiggers.
So she and Peter are watching a movie and the doorbell rings and Mark, in true Mark fashion, has a boombox with a surprise.
He's holding it above his head.
So he has like cards that you would present to people that are on TV, like that you
cue
read.
Cards?
Yeah, like cards. Thank you.
And
say it's just carolers.
Say it's carolers so that Peter doesn't come down. And then on each cue card, he's basically saying that she's perfect and he would love her until she was
not. To me, you are perfect.
To me, you are perfect. And then she kisses him and then leaves. Like, and it's like, okay, this is done. And he says that. He's like,
enough now.
He's like, I said my piece, and she said goodbye, and we're done.
Yeah.
Again, so that was done good. Better on Ted Lasso.
No.
Yes, it was.
Love is a fickle bitch, man. It's supposed to be love everywhere. You got people shooting their shot and missing. You got people falling out of love by, you know, fucking whores at work. Like,
do you like in their storyline at their wedding, the DJ's wearing a Motorhead t-shirt?
The worst that. DJ in the world.
The worst DJ in the world. He's wearing a Motorhead
t-shirt. I didn't know he was religious.
Nice.
Also, when you said, like, it ruined her wedding, I was like, no, the thing that ruined her wedding is Laura Linney wearing that ski cap inside. They're in a church, and she's wearing, like, a knitted wool cap.
That's the thing about Laura Linney.
Laura Linney's the worst.
She ruins things.
Oh, I love Laura Linney.
I'm sorry.
Hers is
saddest
storyline in this entire
movie. I would still rather...
Yeah.
I still prefer the Alan Rickman cheating on Emma Thompson part over having to deal with fucking Laura Linney in this movie.
Laura Linney's part is just...
It's sad.
The saddest...
Yeah, the devotion to family thing, but you know, some...
It's sad.
It's so sad.
Because you get this hot Brazilian man, but your brother is mentally unstable, and you don't want to abandon him because your parents are dead. Like, it's a tough decision.
Brazilian? But there's ways to do it, and she's not doing it
right way. It's a very codependent relationship.
Yeah.
She, like,
I feel like she then
picking
gets
up the phone when they're fucking.
It's bizarre. Because he even
and
says,
then
she's like,
calls him sweetheart.
He's like, maybe you don't answer it this one time. And also, it's like, where is this brother that they're allowing him to make these calls every 5 minutes? Like,
he's in a psychiatric facility.
I know. And they're just allowed, they give you like cell phones?
No, it's supposed to be a Fisher Price cell phone. He just believes in it enough. It works.
I'm surprised that Center is like, yeah, sure, call your sister 20 million times.
Yeah, all day.
All day.
Every day.
All day, yeah.
Can you
it's kind
get
of sad.
Me Bon Jovi? And then, I need an exorcist.
The saddest part is that her and Carl, at the end of the movie, are both at work on Christmas Eve until it's the wee hours of the evening.
I know.
And then they leave by themselves.
I know. They could be family to each other, and they're not.
Yeah.
But I do like when she visits her brother in the scarf and then her brother hugs her. Like, it is
no.
There's this, like, I hate the fact that, like, she can't be with Carl.
Yeah, there's another missed opportunity.
I also
for love, you know?
I understand why she wants to be there for her brother.
Seriously, Laura Linney, why don't you let Carl jump on Carl's bones?
Half these storylines are not successful.
It's true.
Seriously, Paul.
Well, what's your storyline?
Yeah, Guido, what's yours?
I really like the Portuguese lady.
Oh,
so like,
Aurelia.
I really like how, you know, okay, love persists through language barriers. That's very nice. But how did they fall in love? because she spread his papers that he had no copies of into a lake full of eels? Or is it because she always finds his car keys and phone for him? I did enjoy how, like, as they were experiencing things together, he would say something in English and then
she'd say the same thing in Portuguese.
Yeah. And they have no idea that they're even close in terms of, like, topics. So
when he says it's my favorite part of the day, driving you, and she says, it's my least favorite part of the day, leaving you.
That tugged at heartstrings. You know what, though? I didn't like when she kisses him, and then he just leaves, almost gets in a car accident. Why did that fucking happen?
So we can have a movie? Oh, no. Why are you confused about it?
He needs to stick around and be like, okay.
He comes back.
There's the green light.
He also looks like a terrible kisser. I feel bad saying that, but he looks like a terrible kisser.
Yeah, he's just brutal.
I always say that when I watch Bridget Jones's Diary, too. I'm like, why is his mouth, like, open, but, like, there's no tongue? Like, it's just very bizarre the way he kisses. I don't like it.
I also really like, you know, I appreciate the respect he showed for her father. Like, he went, he found him, and then he was like, I want to marry your daughter. And then she was like,
this one?
After they body shame.
Yeah, and then some fucking buffalo comes out the back. And then he's like, I'm paying him to take your ass.
Oh, I'm going to pay him to take you also.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And she learned English. And he learned Portuguese.
I like Amiga say yes.
Oh, it was so cute.
It was so sweet.
I am John.
Yes, I thought that whole storyline was very nice and sweet.
Yeah, he's the more bumbling in this movie than Hugh Grant.
He's
is.
In the King's Speech, right?
Yeah.
That guy.
Then they're both in Bridget Jones' Diary.
Yeah.
He's the Kingsman.
He's in the Kingsman.
He's a Kingsman.
Okay. Well, those are all of our favorites. The only one we didn't really talk too much about is Liam Neeson and his stepson Sam.
Because it's sad as fuck.
It's sweet.
It is a very sad.
And
but
totally
it's
unbelievable that kid didn't get tackled while running through.
Yeah.
Because 9/11 had literally just happened.
Yeah. So Liam Neeson is a stepfather to Sam. Sam's mother passed away from cancer, so they've buried her. And then Daniel is Liam Neeson's character's name, thinks that Sam is upset about his mom dying, but lo and behold, he is also upset because he's in love and he cannot tell her.
I forget, how is he, he's Emma Thompson's friend?
Yeah, they're just
they're
friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I want to say maybe also she was probably friends with the dead wife.
Yeah.
Like they were in the CIA together and they learned those particular special set of skills.
Yeah, yes. And then the little boy was taken.
Yep. I also love how
he was
how,
taken
like,
by love.
How yeah. Emma Thompson's just so like, I'm sorry, can I call you back? Not that I don't care that your wife just died. Like, the way she talks to him is so funny. Like, don't cry. No one's going to shag you if you're a sissy. Like,
yeah.
She's just,
I like when she sees her brother, the prime minister, at the show, and she's like, I'm just so glad you're here.
Yeah, because she just found out her husband was fucking somebody.
Yeah, so yeah. Do they bury that?
I personally think that they stay together, and they just get over it.
They keep calm and carry on.
Keep calm. I don't think he sees the secretary anymore. He probably fired her, which she could definitely slap a sexual harassment lawsuit on his ass, but
yeah.
I think they just keep calm and carry on.
Yeah,
they have children, and I think Emma Thompson is just like, okay.
But in my defense, it was a really good Joni Mitchell album.
Ugh, I hate Joni Mitchell.
There's no getting over that.
I love the way she says it to him. He says, I've been a fool. She's like, yeah, but you've made a fool of me. You made the life we live foolish. It's not just you and my feelings. It's our family. It's everything. You did this. And but I don't know. She's just lovely in this movie. And, you know, she said she like dug deep because of what happened with Kenneth Branagh in their actual life.
Yeah.
He cheated on her with Helena Bonham Carter very publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And that was rough.
Well, yeah, she said she'd be more hurt if it was love. But they're just fucking.
It's true. She said, is it a necklace and sex, or is it worse, a necklace and love? Which I don't think he loves this secretary.
No.
He just wants, he wants that ass.
I just want
to. I don't
she was literally throwing it at
that's
him.
What
also,
he
she,
wants.
You know
throwing
what?
Throwing it at
he
him.
He is the fucking Antichrist. It's all for you. It's all for you, Professor Snape.
When she like reels around in the chair and her legs are like this.
Ugh,
she's just like
dank.
It's like turn to page 394.
I'll just be standing under the mistletoe waiting to be kissed. Shut up. Like, what are you doing? You know he's married.
Yeah. And you're the way that they were dancing together at the Christmas party.
Inappropriate.
So, you know, they play that song, The May Your Days Be Merry and Bright. Yeah. Also, I love that Kelly Clarkson song they play at the Christmas party. It's such a good, song.
Since you've been gone?
Yeah, no, it's not that one.
It slaps.
So they sing the May Your Days Be Merry and Bright, but it's by like, I don't know who sings it. It's
Dwight Yoakam.
No, it's not. But the way there's a part where he says, may your days, but the way he says it, when I was in college, I used to think he was saying mayonnaise, because he goes, may your days, and I used to be like, why is he singing about mayonnaise?
You're so weird.
And my crewmates were like, they still text me this day, be like, oh, I'm watching Love Actually, mayonnaise. I'm so stupid about it. I love this movie.
Yeah, so.
I love love.
That's my movie in a nutshell. Let's go around the room.
Okay.
Pass, fail. Guido.
You're going to fail it because Jude Law's on it.
Sounds like Matt. He sounds like Trey Parker.
Come on, you got some titties.
Yeah, I passed the movie. It was cute.
There's also some pretty sweet cars in this movie.
Well, you know, seriously, I like...
British Range Rovers and whatnot.
I like this whole thing, except for that sad part with Liam's Neeson.
He ends up with Claudia Schiffer. He's fine.
Okay, yeah, hold on a second. Can you... Yeah. Claudia Schiffer.
Yeah.
They're talking to each other, right? Yeah. Did they meet beforehand? No. Was that the first time? Fucking creepy.
But that's the joke that he makes at the funeral in the beginning. He says, when she made a joke that I should find someone after she passes away.
And he put up, slides of...
He says, Claudia Schiffer, and he says, over my dead body. And she says, no, over mine. Like, they make the joke about Claudia Schiffer. And then later when he bumps into that mom, it's played by Claudia Schiffer.
And I don't like the fact that British dude comes over here and starts taking advantage of our dumb chicks, okay?
Our dumb chicks.
Not cool. All right, those are our dumb chicks.
What's the percentage that girls like that live in a tiny town in Wisconsin?
Just go to an average bar.
Yeah, I guess that's
true. Come
on. Somebody said something like, would you like to drink a Budweiser, please?
Yeah,
King of beers. Everybody gets in the cab. He's like, take me to a bar. What kind of bar? Just your average American bar.
I don't know.
Maybe
I just sublet my flat to buy a ticket to Wisconsin.
I take that back. I've seen the girls leave the bar in England or in London. Have you seen the clips?
Those Manchester videos of the girl. Yeah, oh, girls my leaving the bar. God.
I saw a girl wear a napkin and a belt. And yeah, that was it. And
it's birds walking out of clubs in Manchester.
Yeah.
And literally, it's like duct tape and scotch tape on the back.
And they look like lovely people. They look like really nice people.
6-inch heels, the orange skin. Why? Because it's
just... That's the look. That's what's popular over there. Where they live.
It's very Essex and I'm going to go to Ibiza later. Like that. Yeah. Like it's very like that. Teased hair, 6-inch heels.
I'll show you these clips to you. It's
big fake titties.
Wild.
Wild.
Okay.
And they're all drunk. And they can barely
stumbling on
these 6-inch hooker heels, and it's just
they're leaning on each other. None of them have shoes on. If they do, the heels are too big.
Oh my god, it's so crazy to look at.
Yeah, I pass your British movie.
Thank you. All right, Matt.
Yes, I pass this movie.
Oh goodness.
And yes, I guess this show.
Yes.
Good job. Oh, yeah.
Fucking pass this movie. I loved it the first time I saw it. I mean, hell, I got a little... I still get misty-eyed at certain parts when I watch this shit.
I cry every time I watch this movie.
What part?
I cry in the beginning when he does the quote because I just love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
I cry at the Emma Thompson part when she is listening to the Joni Mitchell and she starts to cry. And then...
Portuguese speed.
No, I said... That's like... Honestly, it's like my least favorite storyline in this movie is the Colin Firth storyline.
Laura Linney exists.
I actually cry, not because it's sad. I cry at the when Hugh Grant does the stands up with Billy Bob Thornton because I just like
you everyone, cry at that part.
It's not sad. I just everyone's so proud of him and everyone's so happy and I'm just like,
oh, go, Glenn, go.
He's standing up for his country and he's like.
And by the way, we're going to deport Laura Linney's character. She can go back to Wisconsin with all those other dumb bitches.
Oh.
UK's never been the underdog.
What is she doing in England anyway?
They don't explain it. All she does is say, now with our parents being dead and us being over here now. But she never explains it.
All right, Allie.
Mega pass. I love this movie. I don't care what people say that it hasn't aged well and that it's creepy with the Andrew, to me, you're perfect. I don't give a fuck. This movie is delightful. And I love London in the winter especially. And I just think it's sweet. And I love... The Mr. Bean part is just...
Oh, we didn't even talk about Mr.
Parts.
Bean.
Two parts.
Oh, God, that was so funny.
Could you please put it in the box?
And Richard Curtis...
What's in the box?
Yeah, Richard Curtis, who wrote and directed this movie, like, Love Actually is great, but if you also... He did this beautiful movie called About Time with Bill Nighy and...
Rachel McAdams.
And
yeah.
It's lovely. So if you want something, another movie by him that's good, that one's great. But yeah, I love it. Pass. Eternal Pass.
Is that the one where he's traveling back and, or she travels back in time, or he can
repeat, he can go back in time to certain, yeah. But it's beautiful. It's a lovely
You're
movie.
Thinking of The Time Traveler's Wife.
Which also has Rachel McAdams
thank
in
you.
It, by the way.
Thank you, sorry. And thank you. And you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. That one, he changes time all different ways.
That was a real tearjerker, that one. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, good all job. Right.
Well, thank you. Passes all around.
Yes.
Next week is Guido's pick. Guido, quid pro quo.
Thank you for asking, Tammy. You're in for a treat. I have chosen A Long Kiss Goodnight. It came out in 96. Stars Gina Davis and Sammy Jackson. And you can buy it on Amazon Prime like everyone else.
All right. Well, next week will be our final pick for Holiday Faves Month. We are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can suggest a theme month on our website or via social media. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next week, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Goodbye.